about the sermon, what was kind of the topic of the message, so he could think about the call to worship along with it. And I told him it was going to be on prayer. And he was thinking along the same things, along prayer, and that's been on his mind a lot. So I'm going to give the message, then we're going to do our music, and then I'm going to turn it over to Matt, and he's going to kind of lead us in prayer and kind of lead that for us all to pray. Next Sunday, I'm going to also preach. Scott's going to be busy with the fair this week. And my message is kind of a two-part message. This week's kind of just kind of going to be a shotgun blast scattered about prayer. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about the mission of God along the lines of prayer. So we're going to be a little more focused next week in the message. This week's going to be a little more scattered. But hopefully the Holy Spirit talks to you through my ramblings this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful fall day. My favorite time of the year when the leaves are changing. There's a coolness in the air. You can just feel the change of the season. And Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the beauty that you've created for us to enjoy. Heavenly Father, I know it doesn't even marvel to the beauty, the glory that we'll see when we are with you. But Heavenly Father, it just gives us a glimpse of your imagination, the wonder that we have for you. And Heavenly Father, we're just thankful for having the opportunity to be your children, to be the children of God. And Lord, that we can spend eternity with you. Heavenly Father, just ask for blessings upon this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I had a thought this week about relationships. And I was imagining, well, there's times that Tammy and I, with my work schedule, I work 4 days, then I'm off 4 days, then I work four nights. There's some weeks that we don't see each other for 4 days. If she has to work late at school, I leave about 5:30 at night. There's times that we pass each other on the road when I'm going to work, and she's gone before I get home. So there's times that we don't see each other for 4 days. And so I was thinking about maybe an extreme situation, but what if you got up in the morning and you wrote your spouse a note? Hey, have a great day. I finished chores, because that's a lot of times we'll text each other. Who did chores? Who needs to let the horses out? Who needs to feed the chickens? But what if that was your only conversation, that you said, hey, have a great day, here's what I did. You go through the day and you don't talk to your spouse. Maybe they're busy and they come home and maybe do their thing and you go to bed and you don't really communicate. And the next day, the same thing happens. And the next day, the same thing happens. And the next day, you know, maybe your spouse is going out with friends. So all you do is you write a note in the morning and there's no conversation. And the week goes by and then maybe you just talk on the weekend. Well, the next week's the same, and the next week's the same, and the months are the same, and you really don't have much conversation. You're just writing a little note to your spouse, writing a little note to your spouse. How well do you think that relationship would turn out? Over the long haul, how do you think that relationship would work out? To me, that seems like it'd be a lot one-sided, where the person that's writing the notes to the other spouse would be communicating something, but not getting really a response back. Well, I think about, do we do that with God? How many times do we read His Bible daily, but we don't spend time communicating with Him? Sometimes I get in that rut where I'm like, I need to read this, and I need to read this, and you know, the day goes by, and then I give Him 2 minutes. I could say a two-minute prayer. I give Him a minute. Hi, God, thanks for the day. Lord, I lift up my grandchildren. Just a little short prayer and pat. How well do you think my relationship with God is if I'm not communicating with Him, if I'm not giving Him the time? The same outcome would be with my spouse if I didn't communicate with my spouse. I wouldn't have a healthy relationship if we didn't spend time together, if we didn't devote time to communicate. Well, the same thing happens with me and God when I do that. Even though I'm reading His Word, if I don't spend time in prayer, if I don't spend time communicating with Him, I still start feeling a distance. Even though I'm in His Word, I'm feeling that distance. Because He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants to hear from us. It's not just a one-sided relationship. When we read through the Bible, there's many verses that talk about praying and talking to God and sharing with God. There's many verses about that. And Jesus talked about many times, many instances. But if we don't take that time to devote to God, to pray, to talk with Him, to share where we're at, sometimes He'll just sit idly by waiting for us. And I know I've mentioned this before. At my work, I'm in maintenance. And I have guys that work in our department. If they don't tell me something's broken, I don't know to go fix it. I'll think they're okay with it the way it is, and I'll leave it alone. And there's, with our four-on-four schedule, I'll get a guy come to me my last day and say, it's been broke for 4 days. I'm like, I've been in my office for 4 days. Why didn't you come tell me it was broke? I could have fixed it 15 minutes the first day, but you've been struggling with it for 4 days, and you never told me it was broke. How many times do we do that with God? We just sit there and it's broken. And we don't go to God and say, God, help me, it's broken. And God is more than willing to help us with that brokenness. He's more than willing to help and step up. Sometimes He just sits there and waits for us to communicate with Him and talk to Him, to ask Him so He can bless us and He can show us that blessing. So if we have that open communication with God and we daily pray to Him and just seriously seek Him and seek that communication with Him and seek that relationship with Him, we will find that relationship with Him. But if we sit and put God on the shelf and not communicate with Him and not talk with Him, then He'll be on that shelf and He won't communicate with us. So it's really been impressed upon me to daily pray with God, to really share my heart with Him and seek after what He wants me to know. We're going to look at a few scripture verses this morning. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Flip over to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer and being watchful and thankful. So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Look at Job chapter 22. Job chapter 22, verse 27. You will pray to Him, and He will hear you, and you will fulfill your vows. We'll look at Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. I want to camp out here for a little bit. What's the meaning of that? The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous. Where do you stand with God? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? I hear a lot of people that talk about praying to God, and I look at maybe their lifestyle, their language they use, other than saying they prayed to God in a desperate situation, and there's no evidence of fruit of that they're actually a Christ follower. They may understand there's a God, but well, their lifestyle looks pretty wicked. And so when I think of that, some friends that I have that are, you know, living life on the wrong path, the Lord is far from the wicked. That really saddens me to think about that. But he hears the prayers of the righteous. Does that mean he's not listening to the wicked? But he hears the prayers of the righteous? That really scares me for those non-believers, those that are lost, that don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. In their desperation, they might cry out to him, Lord, help get me out of this situation. But if they're living a wicked lifestyle and they're really not following him, he's a stranger to them. And so I encourage my friends, the ones that I know that are in that situation, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to come to know him like I know him. Because the second part says, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. So I encourage them, get to know him. Have that relationship with him. A few more scriptures. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. I fall in that category sometimes. When I try to rely on myself, I get anxious about things. When I think about I've got to do it all on my own, I got to do it on my strength, I get anxious about things. And this reminds me not to be anxious, because I need to turn it over to God. I need to give that to God. Next part of that is verse 7. Present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the first part, when I rely on myself, I get anxious. When I turn it over and rely on God, I have a peace through God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So going this far in the scripture, I think it's clear to say God wants us to be in prayer. He wants us to have a prayer life. He wants us to communicate with him. We just read several scriptures, and they all pretty much repeat the same thing. Don't be anxious, be thankful, praise God, have a prayer life, spend time with God. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. I love verse 1, chapter 18, verse 1. Seems like a lot of times I skip over this verse because it's not in red letters. I just kind of go through it because I want to see what Jesus had to say. But this is description of what Jesus is about to say is pretty amazing to me. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them, or to show them that they should always pray and not give up. They should always pray and not give up. We'll go on and read through 14. Jesus said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, and yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust said. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Verse 9, "To some who are confident on their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted." It's amazing that we get in that trap sometimes that we think, well, I'm glad I'm not so-and-so, I'm not that bad off. But one sin taints us. One lie, one little sin, in God's eyes, we're evil. So the only way we can wash that off is through Jesus Christ. Even though you may see somebody that commits a lot of sins, in God's eyes, we're a sinner too. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. Only one man on earth was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. So when we think about that and we pray to God, be humble. Because even though we may not be as sinful as somebody else, it only takes one sin to separate us from God. And Jesus Christ's blood can wash away that one sin, or he can wash away the many sins. I'm going to finish up with this. 2 Chronicles. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. "And my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." So our land is broken. We all can see that on the news today. Are you crying out to the Lord? Are you crying out for change? Are you crying out for a community? The Lord said he will hear you. He will forgive their sin and heal their land. Right now, our land needs a healing. Right now, our fellow neighbors are lost. Our communities are lost, and they need God. They need Jesus Christ for that change. We need to daily pray for those neighbors. We need to daily pray for those in our community that God would intervene, that God would make that change. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for the insight that your word gives us. Lord, I thank you for the way that you love us. Heavenly Father, how you care for us, how you guide us, how you direct us. Heavenly Father, we're burdened by those that are lost, that don't know you and don't have that relationship with you. Heavenly Father, how freeing it is for us to be able to rely on you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. Heavenly Father, we are unworthy, but we are grateful.
Heavenly Father, you are holy and we are not. Heavenly Father, we lift up those in our community, Lord, that need you, that need saving grace. Heavenly Father, we just pray for your light into this community. Lord, we just pray that we would carry that light into our community. Heavenly Father, help us to be the light in the darkness that points to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.